Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 Park Instructors, Section 1 Boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911, unattended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 Park Instructors, Section 4 Boy.
Responding to 401 Park Instructors, Section 1 Boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue jeans, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for stopping by and joining us tonight for another live edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Glad that you have joined us on this Monday evening, the 10th of October, 2011. Glad you are with us. We have a great show coming up here shortly where we'll be talking about general liability and how it really affects every type of business out there. It doesn't have to be a security agency or company. But every business, whether it be a shopping mall, a retail outlet, a concert or special events venue, an office complex, a doctor's office, a hospital, every type of business out there is subject to liability. And in some areas, many different types of liability. And tonight we'll be talking about the various types of liability that there is, as well as how it affects directly the security industry. I'm your host for tonight's show, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement agency, association, organization. And we're glad tonight to say that we really are on the cutting edge here in the security industry. And we really have a lot going for us, and if you are a member, we're glad that you are, and you know, we've got a lot of great stuff coming up. If you're not a member, well, right off the bat, we want to invite you to join, because as a member of the association, you will be privy to about 40 benefits and news, networking, and a bunch of other stuff provided as a member of the Private Officer International Association. Just go to our website, of course, at the end of the show, at www.privateofficer.com, and join today. Well, I certainly hope that you've had a great weekend. It was a beautiful autumn weekend, lots of sunshine, cool, crisp mornings, temperatures around 70 degrees during the day, lots of sunshine as we traveled down the Blue Ridge Parkway. Blue Ridge Parkway is a road that was constructed over the years that joins Tennessee, Virginia, and North Carolina and takes you through the Appalachian Mountains. And we had a great weekend. We were up around 5,500, 6,000 feet elevation. Now, we didn't, have any snow or cold weather, but I understand that there was some snow out in the Colorado Rockies, California Mountains, and some other areas actually this weekend that did get some winter precipitation, and I guess that's really just around the corner. But we here on the East Coast enjoyed a beautiful fall weekend, and if you'd like to see some pictures, just go to our Facebook page. They are posted there. Well, you know, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I guess, maybe a week ago, week and a half ago, about this Occupy Wall Street and how it is, you know, expanding and spreading. It seems every other day they are organizing in a new area. They've been in Charlotte, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, Asheville, North Carolina, and moving out west. They are on the West Coast. And You know, this all got started a few weeks ago by a bunch of protesters in New York who was upset about the Wall Street industry and the big wigs making all the money and the little guy being poor and broke all the time. And this has really grown into a lot of different disputes and protests. So far, I read the other day there's been about 2,000 arrests nationwide. I know in New York alone there's been about 1,200. The reason why I'm bringing this up again is if you are working security in a downtown metro area, you may want to be on the lookout for groups, small groups that are organizing, or maybe you've already had some dealings with this type of situation. It is good, very good for you to get some civil disobedience training and some riot training, although you're not going to be directly involved in that type of thing. You will be involved in crowd control and things that relate to civil unrest, protests, and demonstrations. So we do have a course. If you'd like to take that, you can go to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the Academy. Well, also tonight, I want to let you know that if you are interested in being a co-host or a guest on the radio show, all that you got to do is send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. Let us know about the topic or subject that you are interested in talking about. If you want to be a co-host, all that you have to do is write a little synopsis of the subject matter that you're interested in bringing to our radio audience, and we'll review it and get with you and get this scheduled in for you. You can also be a guest and talk about a particular subject that we have lined up in one of our upcoming shows, which we have about, I think about 7 or 8 more shows scheduled before the holiday break. So just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. All of our radio shows are broadcast live, and they're also stored permanently in our on-demand library here on the forum and on the radio program site, as well as at privateofficer.com. In fact, they are stored there forever. We had an email recently that said, hey, I was interested in a show that you did last year. Where can I find it? Well, you can still find it, believe it or not, right here on our radio program or by going to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the radio link. All of our shows are stored for on-demand play. They're also available at Amazon and a number of other sites, iTunes, other sites that you can download them so that you can listen at work, at play, when you're out jogging, running, exercising, or doing whatever it is that you do. I know a lot of people listen at work as well as while they're driving around town. So feel free to download those. They're free of charge at our website, privateofficer.com. Woo! A lot of stuff going on, and we're glad to bring this to you tonight. We've had kind of a rough week in the security industry, one that should have everyone in the private security industry up in arms over. I mean, you should be jumping and hollering and bringing attention, contacting the media, calling out, you know, to your state representatives. But in the last 7 or 8 days, 5 security officers have been killed in the line of duty. 2 security officers in Chicago were killed within 24 hours of each other. Dennis Fox, 53, was slain during a robbery of a gas station. It was revealed today by the media that the suspect in the murder was actually a parolee who had just been released recently from the prison system after serving consecutive sentences for felonies. Also in Chicago, Mabry Porter, 51, was killed during a dispute at a grocery store while on duty. In Hartford, Connecticut, over the weekend, Hector Alvarez was killed in the line of duty trying to protect a citizen, a resident of a community that he was in charge of protecting and securing. He was killed, stabbed to death in Palm Beach, Florida, just 2 months ago. Security officer Jox Novembre was on duty, on patrol of a shopping center, when as he was walking around the back making his patrols, he spotted a person who was in the process of stealing a fire connection off the building, a piece of metal worth about $5 at the scrap center. He did not have a chance to run. He did not have a chance to dial 911. He was bludgeoned, attacked, and beaten in the shopping center. And over the weekend, he died. He held on for 2 months. And as a friend of mine in South Florida, a security instructor, said to us over the weekend, John Morrow told one of my representatives that in South Florida, when the beating occurred, the media barely spoke of it. There was a brief paragraph in one of the local newspapers. And even after his passing, there was very little media attention until all of a sudden, one of the major news outlets there got a hold of the story, and then everyone became aware of it. In Orland, Illinois this week, Thomas Fitzpatrick fell, hit his head at an industrial site, and died. He lay there. No one knows for how long, hours. Maybe alive, maybe dead. No one knows because no supervisor, no site supervisor, no patrol supervisor, no manager checked on the site for 18 hours until the next day when his relief came in and they found the man dead in the parking lot. Where is the outrage? Where is the outrage? I'm asking tonight. More than 70 security officers killed this year in the line of duty. Had this been law enforcement, had this been the fire service, had this been EMTs and paramedics, there would be an outcry today for safer services, for more training, for some oversight, but not in the security industry. Very little attention given when a security officer is killed in the line of duty. Very little said locally or nationally. We talked about this weekend with a couple of members on the forums, and it was mentioned by one of our cohorts that in the fire service, in EMS, whether you're a volunteer or a paid member of your department, it makes no difference. You go through the same training as a firefighter, EMT, paramedic. Since the 70s, I can tell you that we've come a long way in the fire and EMS service. Now, every volunteer is certified as a firefighter 1 or 2, as an EMT, basic or paramedic, the same as their paid counterpart. It makes no difference if you work for a volunteer department. It makes no difference if you're full-time, part-time. It makes no difference if you're in a rural community or a major city. You get the same training, the same respect, the same recognition. And when a fire service member, volunteer or paid, is killed in the line of duty, it's recognized. It's noted. The media takes notice, as they do with law enforcement. In fact, firefighters killed in the line of duty, volunteer or paid, are included in the National Memorial Wall in Emmitsburg, Maryland. The same with reserve and auxiliary police officers, paid or volunteer. When they're killed in the line of duty, they get included on the National Law Enforcement Memorial in Washington, D.C. But when a private security officer is killed in the line of duty, when he's risking his life, his neck, protecting life and property, when he or she is killed in the line of duty, there is no national monument. There is no media outcry. There is no recognition. Just another person killed in the city. Where is the outcry? Where? Who speaks for them? At Private Officer International, for the last 8 years almost now, we have tried to be the voice for the security industry. But we can't do it alone. We need you and your coworkers and their coworkers and every security agency, every proprietary security staff to be involved. Right now, we have two pieces of legislation that we have written, authored, and submitted to state representatives and senators. The first piece is making it a felony to assault a security officer. Some in the industry say, well, what does that matter? What is that going to do? How is that going to help? It will make a difference when someone is arrested for assaulting a security officer in the performance of their duty. The word will get out, as it has with assaulting a police officer. It may help in a preventative measure. It may stop someone from assaulting a security officer doing his job. And if it doesn't stop them, it will punish them in a manner that they should be punished. It is an important piece of legislation. And I'm happy to report that we are in communication with three states and meeting with them over the next 60 days. I will be speaking before the full House on this piece of legislation. The state of California just passed this legislation 2 weeks ago. Five other states have already passed it before we began to work on this legislation. Another piece of legislation that's very important that we're working on is making it a criminal offense for security agencies and clients to misrepresent to private security officers the safety and the risk of an assignment. This is not popular with security companies. This is not popular with security agencies. I understand their concern. That's why the language of this legislation clearly states that they must knowingly know the risk. For instance, if a security company is called to a high crime area to contract security and they're informed of the reason why they're needed and they're informed that there's been a murder, several murders, lots of arrests, and they put an unarmed security, untrained, unqualified, no communication on that property, it would be a criminal offense. No different than had a construction company put a construction worker in a risky site without the proper training and the proper equipment. No construction company would send their man into a high rise without the proper gear, without boots, without the eyewear, without the hard hat. It's against the law to do that. And yet there's no law that says security companies you know, can send a security officer in the site untrained, unprepared, unequipped, no law on the book that says they can't do it. But if I have my way, there will be. Tonight, we need for you to get on board. We need for your coworkers to get on board. If they don't understand the necessity of being involved, have them call me. I'll speak with them direct. We don't have to unionize to change things. We just have to organize and let the change begin with us. Okay, we're going to get off our soapbox here, but we're glad tonight that this is in the works. It's in the works. We've got some people in Congress, state senators who are interested. Spoke with someone in the state Senate just the other day. He didn't know all of this was going on. He didn't realize that 30,000 security officers are assaulted every year. He didn't realize that 9,000 serious injuries are sustained by security every year. He didn't realize that almost 100 security officers are killed in the line of duty every year. He didn't realize all that, even though his own state had 11 security officers killed in the last 18 months. He didn't realize that, didn't know it, had never heard of it. But he has now, and he has guaranteed me he will work on this to pass this legislation. If you would like to get updates, if you would like to be involved, we encourage you to join our forums if you're not already a member. Go to our website at privateofficer.com and link to the forums. It's free of charge, open to anyone, member of the association or non-member. All of the information, all of the updates, all of the news is broadcast every day, throughout the day, on our forums. We also have a lot of great networking going on, lots of videos and information that we share with security officers and law enforcement officers here in the U.S. and around the world. So go to our website, www.privateofficer.com, click on the forums link. Also, you know, a lot of people don't realize that right there from our main website, you can link to our news blog, to our Facebook page, to our Twitter feed. You can link to everything, our forums. It's all happening right there at privateofficer.com. You can also send us an email while we're on the air at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com, and we will answer your questions or announce any birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, promotions, whatever you'd like for us to, within reason, of course. We will announce that free of charge to our listeners here in the U.S. and around the world. And we do have a lot of listeners, and it's growing every week, and I really appreciate that, and thank you for it. I do have to make a correction to our radio program last week. We mentioned last week when we were talking about obtaining the Pocket Press Peace Officers statue, handy little book that I said that, you know, Pocket Press publishes for every state. Well, they publish for almost all states. They miss a few states, but my friend up in Montana, Ken Kingman, had to remind me during the week that they don't publish Montana statutes. And I had to remind him that's because Montana doesn't have any laws in the Wild Wild West. Marshall Dillon is still on patrol most places there in the state of Montana, but it's a beautiful state. Hope to make it up that way soon, this year, in fact, within the next few weeks, possibly even sooner. But, you know, Pocket Press is an excellent tool, and they do print most states, but not Montana. So there you have it. Also want to remind you about the new member rewards program. If you haven't received that information, go to our website at privateofficer.com. You can get the information there. All of our members receive reward points for training, for purchases that they make, for participation, recruiting, and other things. And we've also given out a number of free 50 points member rewards already, and you can use them for nice gifts, discounts on training and products, and even to upgrade your membership to lifetime membership. So we're always adding to our member benefits. We're always looking for ways that we can improve, and that is one of the ways. And we've had a number of people say that they really like it. So be looking for some more things coming down the pike. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Are you the owner of a private security service agency? Have you been thinking about starting your own guard business? Perhaps you're a law enforcement officer who moonlights as a security officer just to make ends meet. We all know that in this business, things can go from good to bad in a heartbeat, just like that. But when they do, we've got your back. At Brown Yard Programs, we've been helping the security industry protect themselves since 1993. Give us a call today at 1-800-665-7305 or on the web at www.brownyardprograms.com. Brown Yard Programs, we protect the protector.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
All right, welcome back to the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. You know, I mentioned a few moments ago that we have a lot of officers killed in the line of duty, a lot of private security personnel every year, between 80 and 100. And right now we are working on a way to memorialize them and to bring about, in reality, an officer memorial. We have a memorial on site, on our website, that we update, every day. Every time that there's a unfortunate death of a security officer, but we're working on making it a reality to have a permanent memorial, and we need your support. Right now we're working on 6 major capital projects And, you know, we just can't go out and get loans and money. We simply are asking that you help us through your membership. Make sure that you keep your memberships current, that you renew them, that you upgrade when possible. You can also make donations to Private Officer on the website at privateofficer.com. Click on the memorial fund page. We have a lot of expansion that we're doing. We're working on the university, which is going to offer substantial discount to POI members. And, you know, we have a lot going on, a lot in the works, and we just need your support. And we really need for the security industry to get behind us, because this is all about them. I want to mention tonight again that we are beginning to take a limited amount of advertising for our website and radio program. If you are a business owner or have a business contact, let them know that we are beginning to take limited advertising for our website, our radio show, and other media outlets. We have a lot of listeners. We have a lot of people that peruse our website. More than 240,000 hits every month. About 20,000 people a week listen to the radio show. We need for them and for you to help us. And you can go to our website, click on privateofficer.com, the media link, and get more information about advertising here on the Private Officer Network. We told you a few moments ago about the legislation that we were working on, and want to thank John Dearley and Dan Sinise, Brian Holt, and a few of the other folks who have helped us with this in their states. And I'm not including everyone. I'm leaving people out, but you know who you are. But those of you who have gone the extra mile to help with this, Alan Marion in Phoenix also, and a number of others, you know, we appreciate what you've done, and we're asking that you just hang in there. It's a slow process. People think because it doesn't happen overnight, it's not going to happen. That's just not how it works. You know, government is slow. If you don't believe me, go to the DMV and try and get your license or your tag renewed and see how fast you get through the line. Now, government is slow. It's just that's how it works. Want to mention the birthdays for this week. Happy birthday to David Moore. He's in Millington, Georgia. He's 40 years of age. Kevin Bruce. He's in Tempe, Arizona. Turned 21 on Sunday. Happy birthday, Kevin. Caleb Strong, 35, one of our longtime members in San Diego, California. Michael Francis in Prescott, Arizona. He's 55. Tracy Cohen, 35, in Seattle, Washington. Billy Gates in Webster, Texas. Jeremy Dobson in Kokomo, Indiana. I believe his birthday is tomorrow. Fred Bose in Swiftwater, Pennsylvania. George DeLucy in Philly, Pennsylvania. And Jimmy Swifton in Chicago, Chi-Town. He's 60 today. Stay safe, folks. Enjoy your day, and may you have many more to come. Be blessed and happy. Also want to recognize the following folks for completing their Certified Asset Protection Professional 1. Peter Scoggins in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. That town actually was blown away during Katrina and has made a fantastic recovery. Jeffrey Franks in Portland, Connecticut, my home state. Thomas R. Johnson in Denver, Colorado, Kenneth Littles in Denver, Colorado, and Tony Robertson in Denver, Colorado. Great group of guys. They have a little security company there in Colorado, and great supporters. Also completing their church security specialist certificates were Betty Franks in Portland, Connecticut, Terry Newman. You may have caught that, Betty Franks, Portland, Connecticut. The wife of Jeffrey Franks. One took the CAPP and one took the church specialist. I guess maybe they shared information. Terry Newman, not sure where Terry is, but Martin Bailey in Chesapeake, Virginia. Congratulations to you folks for the completion of your church security specialist program. and completing the CAPP2 last week was Troy Davis in Nashua, New Hampshire, Rich Chapman in Springfield, Missouri, Paul Givens in Massachusetts, a little town there in Boston area, and Will Pepercelli in Atlanta, Georgia. Congratulations to all of those folks for the completion of their specialty degree program. And we have others currently going through the program right now. Most people know that training of any type is what it's going to take to be better on the job. It's what's going to take to save your butt when things happen. It's what it's going to take to get the promotions. And if you haven't taken one of our courses, we certainly invite you to, because there's a lot of great information that will help you in your job performance, and it will help you in your career. So check us out at privateofficer.com/academy. We are talking tonight about business liability. And, you know, a lot of people just don't understand why we talk so much about liability. Why are you talking about this again? It seems like you talk about it frequently. Well, liability is just part of the business. Anytime that you have a company of any origin, whether it be a grocery store, a flea market, a charter school, a church, a security agency, you have liability associated with business ownership. That's just how it goes. Whether it be somebody falling on the floor in your business and getting hurt, or someone, an employee falling off the ladder and being hurt, there's a lot of different type of liability. And tonight we're going to go over a little bit about that liability, how it affects the business, and how it affects the security industry, because we certainly have a lot of liability. We'll be joined shortly by a security manager from a casino, and my friend, who is a retired law enforcement officer, and we'll be talking about how much liability companies do assume. But they do assume a lot, and that's why there's something called general liability insurance, and you are foolish to operate without having that. Some people do try to get away with it, but better be safe than sorry. And, you know, it's just a fact of life. You've got to have general liability insurance. Any business assumes instant liability the minute that they open their doors to the public. We've discussed liability in previous shows, but as we continue to see security agencies and officers being sued, we realize that some people still just don't get it. They don't understand, or they choose to ignore it. And that's fine, because it's their business. They can do what they want. It will be their loss. But for those of you who might be new to the program, new to the security industry, or missed our previous radio shows, tonight we're going to spend a little time talking about liability assumption, what type of liability you assume in your position, what type of liability there is, who assumes it, and why. Basically, you know, as stated repeatedly, any business has liability, but the security industry has a ton of it. Everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you touch can become a liability issue. A business of any type, a general store, a gas station, a Walmart, a shopping mall, it doesn't matter. They automatically assume liability when they go in business. the store may have a faulty roof, and the roof collapses on the customers. The office complex may have a wet floor, and a patron, a customer, or an employee falls and gets hurt. A business may have faulty equipment, and an employee is electrocuted, injured, burned, or even killed. They assume liability in that injury or death. Even in situations where there are accidental injuries, slip and fall, employees are injured to no fault of the company, they still assume some liability. Negligence or contributory negligence and other mitigating factors dictate how much liability the business has, to what extent, basically, they're going to pay out, how much money is it going to cost them in this situation, in this injury, in this death. Some of these things are preventable, and some are not. But in all cases, businesses may be held completely or partially liable. There's also something called vicarious liability, which you, the security officer, is often found guilty of in a civil trial. Vicarious liability is a form of liability. It's a secondary form of liability. You may not be directly at fault to what happened. You may not have caused the fire at the auto dealership, but something you did or did not do caused it. You could have prevented it, and you didn't. Let me give you an example. You are on duty as a security officer at an auto dealership. You smell smoke coming from a building. You decide you're going to continue sitting in your car listening to the tunes on the radio, listening to the CD. You decide not to get out and investigate. You decide not to get off your butt and see if something's on fire at the dealership. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, you see the place fully engulfed in flames, and now you realize where the smoke came from. Now you understand that, oh, yeah, what I was smelling really was a fire. After the fire's put out, after the owner's been contacted, days, maybe even weeks later, the fire marshal rules that it was an accidental fire caused by an electrical outlet that had a short in it, or an electrical wire that had a short in it. But the owner of the auto dealership says, hey, wait a minute. How long had it been burning inside the building before it really caught on fire? And the fire marshal says, well, looking at the extent of the damage, I can tell that it had been burning for 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 2 hours inside before it really burnt the place down. Now, the owner of the auto dealership says, where was my guard? Where was the security officer? Why didn't he smell it? Why didn't he see it? Why didn't he report it? Now you have vicarious liability. You didn't commit the arson. You didn't light the place on fire. You didn't cause the wire to short out. It wasn't your doing that caused the initial fire, but it was your lack of response, your irresponsibility that caused the building to burn the way that it did. So, that's vicarious liability. Another example is, as a security officer, you know not to let anyone in the building after 6 p.m. The office is closed. No one allowed. No exceptions. And yet, someone comes to you and says, hey, I got to go upstairs. I left my briefcase, forgot my wallet, my cell phone's on my desk. And you say, well, I'm really not supposed to do this. And he says, yeah, but I really need my wallet. I really need my cell phone. I really need my briefcase. Got to have it. It's the weekend. And you say, all right, just make it quick. Hurry up. Snap to it. And he goes upstairs and steals 5 laptops, breaks into 3 offices and steals cash and leaves. And you find it hours later when you're doing a walkthrough patrol. Somebody's broken into the office and you don't really make too much out of it. You don't call anyone. You don't report it to anyone. And then on Monday, when the managers come in, they find that the place has been burglarized, 5 computers are stolen, offices broken into, cash taken. Where were you? What were you doing? They're going to begin looking at you to see whether or not you stole it, whether or not you were involved. The police will be called. It is a felony. Burglary is a felony. Grand larceny is a felony. Theft. In most states, over $200 is a felony. So the police will be called. They'll investigate. Once they rule you out criminally, then they will begin looking at you, the owner of the office, maybe your employer, will be looking at you for liability. Because someone's got to replace those computers. Someone has to pay for the damage of those office doors. Someone has to replace the cash that was stolen. Yeah, well, that's what insurance is all about, man. They got insurance, I'm sure. I'm sure they got insurance. They may have insurance, and the insurance company may pay the claim, but then they can come back to you and your employer for vicarious liability. You were there to protect that from happening. You were there to keep their property secure, and yet you took it upon yourself, decided to make a ruling that was outside of the policy and allow someone inside the building when they shouldn't have been. That's vicarious liability. That's culpability. Responsibility. You can be sued. Your company can be sued. In this business, there's a lot of liability.
Well, I won't do nothing then. I'll just sit back and just observe and report like they want me to. I won't do nothing at all.
There's liability with that attitude as well. Because several state rulings recently have ruled against security officers and companies who sat back and did not respond, did not adequately perform their duties. And they were ruled against. They lost their case because they didn't perform their job. We have to understand what our duties are. We have to understand what the policies of our location, our assignment is. And we can't go outside of that scope. We can't go outside of what they want us to do. Because if we do, then we assume all liability. We take it all upon ourselves. Once we break the rules, what happens is, your employer is no longer liable for your actions at all because you did something you were not supposed to do. being in law enforcement or private security is something that really continues to broaden and widen in the liability area. I've had people tell me over the last few years, I just don't know what to do anymore. You know, no matter what you do, you're going to be wrong. No matter what you say, they're going to say, uh-uh, your fault. And my advice is always this. Follow the rules. Perform your job and your duties as specified. Don't make decisions that aren't yours to make. Don't rewrite the policy unless you're the manager or the owner. And always remember that being the nice guy isn't always the best thing to do. Sometimes you just got to tell people, no, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't let you in here. I know you work upstairs, John. I see you every day. I know you're an employee, but the policy is we can't let anyone, employee, visitor, nobody in the building after 6 p.m. I'm sorry, John. You're going to have to do without that cell phone. I'm sorry, John. You're going to have to do without that briefcase. I'm sorry, John. Ooh, the wallet, you know, it may have your credit cards, cash, and ID in there, but unless you call your boss and get his permission, I can't let you in. I don't have that authority. I don't have it like that, John. I'm sorry, buddy. He's not going to be happy with you. But you will have covered your butt. You will have done your job. You will have performed your duties. Just recently, I read a news article about a security officer at a football league, National Football League. This happened, I guess, last week, actually, at a game. And the security officer was working underneath the field where the field house was. And one of the owners of the company, one of the owners of the football league came in, didn't have his pass with him, didn't have his badge with him. And the security officer said, I'm sorry, you can't come in. He said, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. He said, I'm sorry too, buddy, but my job and my duties say don't let anyone in that doesn't have the proper credentials, and you don't have them. And the gentleman thought about that for a moment, and he said, you're right, and I apologize. I'm going to go back to, I guess, his vehicle or wherever he left them, and I'm going to get them, and I'll be back here shortly. And he did that. And he spoke to the security company and even to the press, to the media, about that incident. And he said the security officer just performed their duty as required. They did what they were supposed to do. It was my fault. I did not have the proper credentials. And that's how it is. What would have happened if he let them in? What would have happened if he said, oh, you're so-and-so, you're one of the big owners, oh, I've never seen you a day in my life, I don't know you from Harry Carey down the road, never laid eyes on you before, I just guess I'll take your word for it, right? You say so, it must be true, and I'm just going to let you in. What would have happened if he had gone that way? What would have happened if he had done that and the guy turned out to be some stalker, some killer? What would have happened had this all gone sideways? Who would have been at fault then? Not the football league. Not the security company. No, it would have been the security officer because he had not followed his job. He had not done his duty. We have to follow the rules, the letter of the law. We have to be very specific on what we do, when we do it, how we do it, and consider all things. Don't take things upon yourself that you have no authority to do. Don't make decisions you have no authority to make. And then you won't have to explain why when things go wrong. I'm just trying to be a nice guy. I just want everyone to like me. I just want everybody to think I'm a nice guy. And, you know, I wasn't trying to do anything wrong. He looked like he could be a boss. He looked like he could be the owner. I was just, I just let him in. You and I both know when things go bad, when things go wrong, who they'll be pointing the finger to, who they'll be pointing the finger at, who they'll be looking to, who they'll be firing, and eventually who could be sued, who assumes the liability. There are a number of issues when you own a business or work in a business. And it doesn't matter, as I said earlier, what type of business it is, but there is always going to be some liability issue. In the event that there is an injury at a business, a serious injury, where someone has critically been injured, OSHA usually is called. OSHA is the Occupational Safety and Health Agency that is tasked with investigating injuries and deaths of workers on the job. Now, normally we would be talking about protecting the crime scene and all that, but this isn't, you know, this show isn't about that, so you'll have to catch that on one of the other shows that we've done. But in this situation, OSHA would be the one. The local police department may investigate to see if any criminal wrongdoing has been done. For instance, in the event, let's say that there was a person who was trampled at a store trying to get out during a bomb scare or a fire scare, they would investigate to see if all the exits had proper exit bars, if anything was blocked. They would investigate to see if anything that the store had done had in any way caused or contributed to the death or injury of the patron or the worker. So you have civil investigations and criminal investigations when people get hurt or injured or die on private property, on a business, while the business is open or closed. You also have a number of other agencies who get involved whenever someone is injured or killed in a business. And when it's all said and done, you also have insurance adjusters or investigators who come in and do their own investigation. They check to see who did what happened, was it your fault, how much did you contribute to it, you the business or you the employee, and all of that is done basically to decide how much money you're going to get, you know, paid. Are you going to recover or are you going to have to pay out? Is the person injured or the person who was killed going to be paid any benefits? There's a lot of people involved in trying to figure out who to point the finger at. There's a lot of people who get involved to figure out who should assume the majority of the liability. It doesn't matter the size of the business, the location of the business, the state the business is located in, it doesn't matter. But when someone, especially an employee, gets killed or injured, there's a lot of people looking to lay blame on someone. Someone has to pay for it. That's why it's so important to document everything you do. Document everything you see. Well, there was a short in the light bulb. I told them that the fire sprinkler system wasn't working. I told them that this door was blocked. I told them the fire extinguisher needed to be recharged. Write it down, because if something ever does happen, they will be looking to you and saying, why didn't you notify us? Why didn't you document it? Why didn't you let us know there was a problem? We could have avoided this catastrophe. We could have avoided this injury. We could have avoided this death. By writing it down and keeping copies of your reports, you'll be able to back up everything that you've said over the last few days, weeks, months, or years. And that will take the liability, the culpability, and the vicarious liability off from your shoulders and place it someplace else on the people who should have it. And we're going to be joining one of our friends, casino manager, here momentarily. Good evening. You are on Private Officer Talk Radio.
Hello, Rick. How are you? This is Kevin Parker.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good myself.
Doing well. We've been talking for the last few minutes about the various types of liability that companies do have, not only security agencies, but every type of business. And there's a lot of liability when people get injured or even killed on their property. And tonight we're just kind of going over the different types of liabilities and how it affects every type of company, especially private security agencies. And just tell us a little bit about yourself. I've got a lot of listeners around the country and around the world, actually. Just tell us a little bit about your background. And I just told them that you work in the casino business, and we'll go from there.
I've been working at a casino property in southern Indiana for about 13 years now. I'm in charge of investigations. You know, there's a lot of liability involved with the, you know, casinos, slip, trips, and falls, things of that nature. I've worked as a prosecuting attorney's criminal investigator for prosecuting attorney's office a few years back. So I've been doing investigations for quite a while.
You also do some training, don't you?
Yes, I help oversee the training for our new hire officers at the casino I work at.
Okay. Now, my experience, having worked a lot of retail, I've never worked casino, but I do have some friends who do work up in Connecticut and out in Vegas in the casino industry. And I know that they're very safety conscious in the casino environment, and they do a lot of safety audits and things of that nature. And I'm sure that you are privy to probably safety meetings and things of that nature, probably weekly or monthly, discussing issues that come up there at the casino.
Yeah, so there's a safety team comprised of frontline employees that go around and do audits. They meet every month. We have a risk manager that oversees all the safety and training issues for our property. And even then, the upper management of the casino property is involved. They have separate meetings, and they just, any suggestions that the frontline team members make, they try to look at it and improve, you know, on their suggestions.
There's a lot of liability, and you know, whenever you have a venue facility such as a casino, you have so much going on. You've got a huge kitchen, a lot of cooking. You have a huge casino area. You have entertainment area. You have sleeping quarters. There's just so much that could go wrong, you know, on the property. So a business like that assumes so much liability. It could be a customer falling down the stairs. It could be somebody who catches their high heel on the carpet and slips and falls. I'm sure that in your time there on the job, you've had some fraud cases as well, where people, you know, submit that they've been injured on the premises when in fact they weren't.
Right.
Any case you want to bring up, maybe that you've been involved in something of that nature?
Let me see here. Off the top of my head, I just remember an incident a few years back. You know, someone claimed that they fell down the escalators They said it suddenly stopped, but what happened was they pushed the emergency stop button and laid at the bottom of the escalator claiming they was injured. They had fallen all the way down. You know, they was put on board and collared and taken out of there by, out of property by ambulance to the hospital for check over. And, you know, they tried to, you know, file a lawsuit against us for it. But, you know, through investigation, you know, surveillance videotapes, obviously we found, you know, wasn't anything of the nature he was claiming.
Yeah, there's just, you know, it's incredible the amount of work that these people put into defrauding a business. I remember when I was a district LP manager for a major department store, we had several people who would bring bottles of water with them and pour it on the floor and then slip and fall and claim that, you know, there had been water on the floor and that we caused their injuries. But back then, there wasn't too many cameras in the store. We had mostly catwalks and one-way mirrors. But it just so happened that in one case, one of our LP agents was actually up watching some shoplifters nearby from the one-way glass, and he spotted the person take the bottle out of his coat pocket and spill the water on the floor and then lay down and start screaming. So,
yeah, it's amazing what people are trying to do anymore.
But, you know, in the liability area, there's a lot of liability that private security, both proprietary as well as contract, also assume. And, you know, at your facility, I'm sure that you spend a lot of time going over what to do, what not to do, what the officers should do, and how they should, you know, handle different situations. Do you talk much to them about what their liability issue could be if they get sued or if they use too much force or things of that nature?
Oh, yes, most definitely. When I teach our handcuffed training course, you know, I spend a lot of time, you know, talking about the civil liability aspects of, you know, excessive force. And, you know, I just use, you know, real-life stories, especially, you know, it's always in the media nowadays of, you know, police officers who are being accused of using excessive force. And I just use those real life stories, you know, and they don't want to be around that because everybody's got a cell phone camera nowadays and it's going to be recorded and they don't want the civil or criminal portion of it.
Especially in your type of situation because the eye in the sky is everywhere in your facility and they record and you've got investigators constantly monitoring the floors and, you know, if one of your employees should use too much force or should do something that they shouldn't, then, you know, your company, unfortunately, is already recording it, you know. So it's not going to be a situation where a customer has to take out a camera and record it, but your investigators, your security monitors are already probably in the process of doing it. The camera's already, caught it.
Right. I say it's just a matter of being posted on YouTube with the other camera phones. You don't want that bad publicity for themselves or, you know, obviously the casino either.
Did you happen to catch the piece of video on all over the internet in the last couple of weeks about the police officer in Detroit at the casino who punched a guy in the face and knocked him out? Did you see that piece of video?
I've heard about it. I've not yet watched it. I think that was the MGM Grand in Detroit, like you said. I've not watched that one as of yet.
Yeah. I've watched several different pieces of video that was recorded by the casino, and they evidently had been dispatched to the casino for, I guess, a person who may have touched one of the waitresses inappropriately. And they were escorting him out. He was not in custody. He was not handcuffed. As far as we know, he was not under arrest. They were just escorting him off the property. They were approaching, it looked like, the lobby area, and the gentleman was getting a little mouthy, but he was in front of the officers. And when he turned around, he must have said something that ticked the officer off. Having been in law enforcement myself, I can tell you that from the officer's standpoint, he probably took it as a sign of aggression, and he just co-cocked this guy and knocked him out. And so he's already been sued. The casino's been sued. The security staff has been sued. This only happened a few weeks ago, and a lawsuit's already been filed. So That's how quick that, you know, people can be sued these days. From what I've seen on the video, I think it was a little bit excessive force. There was no weapon involved, so I don't know really what caused the officer to use that, you know, extensive amount of force, but I guess we'll hear it all when the court trial, you know, takes place.
All right, be interesting to keep up on that one.
What else can you tell us about officer liability? Do you talk much about their liability in the event that someone gets hurt because of something they do or don't do? For instance, we had a case a number of years ago where hotel security did not lock the gate to the swimming pool and a child drowned, and security officer and the hotel assumed the liability. They were sued, and the judge ruled in favor of the parents. Do you explain to the officers about that type of liability as well?
Yes, we do. Just to make it short and understand with them, you know, the purpose behind, you know, what we do at the casino and our patrols is checks, you know, just making sure that everything is in place or in balance, and just make sure that they're not in a situation where they can be sued or the company can be sued. If there's a situation that they see that, you know, calls for immediate attention, go ahead and act upon it, you know, notify supervision, surveillance, and things of that nature, and, you know, let's get it taken care of right then and there. Let's not put themselves in a situation or the company in a situation where we just let it go and, you know, we're in a liability lawsuit.
Right, right. Is there anything else that you'd like to bring up or address while we got you on the phone?
Well, I think being in the casino security business, it's a little different than other security out there, such as contract security. You know, you have everything under the sun that's coming to you from, you know, entertainment, nightclubs, you know, money constantly moving around the floors. So, you know, you see a little bit of everything, but liabilities out there for, you know, any business, any security officer, regardless of, you know, what industry you're in or what site you're working. So it's always want to ensure that you, you know, dot your I's, cross your T's, make sure everything's in place.
Right. You have a proprietary staff, don't you?
I'm sorry?
You have a proprietary staff. All of your people work for the casino itself, right?
Yes. We,
Go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, sometimes during our big concert venues, we do a outdoor concert, summer concert series at times, and we sometimes go outside for security to supplement our in-house staff.
Right, right. There's always something going on at the casinos. Like I say, I've got a couple of friends who work, have worked in the casino industry for quite some time, and you know, that's it can be exciting, it can be busy, it can be slow, but there's always something going on at the casinos.
Right.
All of your people also train for medical response there?
We do have EMTs on staff. We have trained all of our all of our other security staff to in CPR and the use of the AED so they can respond until the EMT gets on scene to, and then assist thereafter.
Right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out to be on the air with us tonight. And, you know, we're going to be up in the area soon. In fact, I used to have an office in Louisville, not too far from where you're at, actually. And I'm pretty familiar with your area. But maybe we'll stop in and see you.
All right. I look forward to it. Thank you for that.
Appreciate your time, and thanks for being a member of the association. And we'll have you on here again as we talk more about casino security coming up probably in January.
Okay. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks again. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
34, be advised, 93, please come in closely with the suspect and the victim. West.
You are listening to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network.
All right, we're back for a few moments here with you, and appreciate you being on our program tonight, listening to us wherever you might be. General liability for any type of business is their main concern. It's a very expensive, part of the business. To carry liability insurance, to always have to worry about being sued, unfortunately, it just comes with being a business owner. It just comes with certain types of industries, whether it be law enforcement or private security or, you know, a shopkeeper. It's just there. But, again, as long as you do what it is you're supposed to, as long as you follow the policies, usually you're going to be covered. We're going to go over here to the news desk and talk a little bit about what's happening in the news before we end the show for tonight. I understand that in Virginia Beach, Virginia police, there are warning citizens about a scam. Someone is identifying themselves as Virginia Beach Police, and trying to get them solicit donations. So if you live in the Virginia Beach area, be on the alert. Notify police should someone try to solicit funds from you. In Monroeville, Pennsylvania, four men from Atlanta were charged with running an elaborate check cashing scheme. The men would run up and down the interstates cashing fake checks. According to law enforcement, they would also hire homeless people or prostitutes to cash the checks up and down the East Coast. They netted more than $2 million. $2 million. In Walkshire, England, law enforcement in England say that they are looking to hire private security to help investigate serious crimes, including murder. Right now, they are in conversation with G4S to plug the gaps left in the vacancies because of retirement. And in fact, another police agency in England just hired private security to patrol their town to augment the police force. In Lorain, Ohio, police there say three juvenile girls are responsible for shoplifting several times from Kohl's. They shoplifted more than $400 worth of sunglasses from the store before loss prevention was able to apprehend them. They have been turned over to their parents. They do have a juvenile court date coming up. Also, in Rapid City, South Carolina, authorities there are looking at ways to upgrade their security company licenses. In South Dakota, there are no state licenses. Everything is done on a per-city basis. South Dakota is about one of the 11 states that still do not have state security company licenses. And so Rapid City says that they need to upgrade their license requirements, and they're working on that. They still have companies out there running around with police vehicles and police uniforms with the word police, and they want to get rid of that. One of the things I read in the news this weekend that's pretty, it really concerns me, and if you've been unemployed for a while and you're looking to go back to work, this is really happening across the country in recent months, but employers now are really looking through applications with fine-tooth combs. They're really checking your background. They're really checking your credit. They're really checking the chronological order of your employment to verify everything, and they're really becoming very picky, very choosy, because there's a lot of people out there to choose from. There's a lot of people who are qualified for whatever position that they're looking to fill, and so they are really becoming nitpicky on your resume. So if you are looking for a job, make sure those are in order. In Chicago, police there say that a woman got past a office security officer and went to the top floor and jumped. She committed suicide. Police are not releasing her name. An investigation by the Chicago Police Department is underway, but they do believe it is a suicide. In Goshen, Indiana, police there are investigating the murder Sunday morning of James Miller, a 58-year-old Goshen College professor. Goshen is a very small, very close-knit community near the Chicago, Illinois metro area. And evidently, Professor Miller was a victim of a robbery at his home. Home invasions are few and far between in this small community, but unfortunately, he lost his life. Police are looking for the suspects, and they are working on a number of clues. Police in Gainesville, Florida, say that Jasmine Thomas, 18, was arrested for grand theft after loss prevention agents at JCPenney at the Oaks Mall caught her and a juvenile stealing jewelry. They took 21 pieces of jewelry and 11 shirts into the fitting room, the dressing room, and there they stuffed the stuff, their stolen items into a bag and left, but LP agents did apprehend them. In Nashua, New Hampshire, police there say Michael Leon, 30, of Massachusetts, was arrested in a slick gift card scam. He would steal, him and his girlfriend, merchandise and bring it back to a number of stores and refund it for gift cards. He did this in a number of stores at several malls, and he is currently in custody with the police department. In Suffolk County, New York, police there are investigating a robbery of a Walmart. A suspect went in and took cash from the registers and then went down to the next town and did the same thing. He actually had a key on a second location and was able to get into a register and stole $2,500. In Chicago, Illinois, police there say a man on parole for murder tried to rob an off-duty police officer. Police say that the man had just recently been released from prison for conspiracy of murder when he robbed the off-duty Cook County Sheriff's officer. Police have arrested him, and he is in custody tonight. In Louisiana, a police officer there in Evangeline Parish has been arrested for theft. Police say that the officer took items from a retail store on numerous occasions without permission, and then brought them back demanding refunds for the items. He's been arrested on numerous counts of theft and could lose his job. One of the most bizarre stories of the week comes from Lutz, Florida, which is in Pasco County. Police there say a shoplifter at the local mall decided that she needed a quick getaway after shoplifting numerous items from the store. Rachel Faria actually jumped into a motorized shopping cart that is there for the handicapped and tried to get away from loss prevention. Police say that she was apprehended by security after stealing a number of items, and she's also been charged with theft of the stolen motorized cart valued at $2,100. Police say it was a slow chase. Atlanta police say that shoplifters are becoming better organized. 48 people so far this year have been caught in organized crime in the Atlanta metro area. We're seeing this more across the country, more people organizing in retail theft. Albuquerque, New Mexico police say that a man pulled over the wrong person. According to police, a man pulled behind an unmarked car and put his strobe lights on and pulled the off-duty officer over. The officer arrested 42-year-old Tyree Appleby and charged him with impersonating police. Thieves, I guess this is the second most weird story of the week. Thieves in Pennsylvania, Newcastle, Pennsylvania, stole a 50-foot-long bridge in western Pennsylvania. Police say they are baffled by the crime because these men took hours to cut by blowtorch, to cut this bridge, this spanning bridge, off from its foundation. The bridge is worth about $100,000, and police believe that the suspects probably carried it off to some scrap yards for a few bucks. Well, if you have watched Austin Powers, the movie, if you're an Austin Powers fan, then you'll recognize the person who played Dr. Evil's sidekick, Random Task, in the first Austin Powers. Joseph Hyman's son was arrested and charged with kidnapping and brutally attacking a woman. He is currently facing life in prison and is incarcerated with no bond. Police say that an armed man entered a Schenectady, New York newspaper office over the weekend, asking the security officer for a glass of water. When he got inside, he then attempted to commit suicide. When police was called, Elvis Norwood, who was armed with a knife, said he was going to kill police and wanted them to kill him. Police were able to take him in custody without any injuries. That's why you have to follow protocol. That's all for tonight. Thank you for being with us. Another great show. We're glad that we've had you here with us live on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We'll be back Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Eastern for the LP Zone, and again next Monday live on the Private Officer News Network. Have a great day. Be safe. Be blessed. See you back here on the radio.